Hello and welcome to SCN 149.99. We promise this is the last time that we're going to squeeze out the 149 number. We just haven't all been able to get together. No, this week, Ryan, he has a major computer update. He will maybe join us later, but for now, it's going to be myself, Rex, and Sean.
Yeah.
Yo.
When the chips are down and you're down a dude, I come in and... I don't know where I was going with this. Is that how the Hulk Hogan theme starts?
Kinda.
Yeah.
Alright.
When it comes crashing down.
Crashing down.
It yeah.
Sad.
When Ryan's computer comes crashing down and then he hurts his inside. Yeah.
Where does Gawker fit into this? Because that has to be part of it.
That was like the second verse that I couldn't get to.
I am a real
Gawker.
American. Show your sex tapes to every man.
Now, Gawker is the hot new MC that's going to come rap on the second bar.
Yeah. Flo Rida?
Yeah, yeah. He's going to be my Flo Rida hook.
Since WWE loves Flo Rida.
Yeah, he's going to be like... It's gonna be as awkward as that dude that rapped on the Friday song.
Why do you think WWE uses Flo Rida so much?
Because it's probably cheaper than
does he live in Florida?
I think so.
Well, there you go. I think they have a lot of like development stuff in Florida, so he's probably like there all the time. Well, I mean, they do use him a lot, but who was the guy that got powerbombed by Kevin Owens? Off the stage. Do you remember that?
That was Flo Rida.
That was Flo Rida?
Yeah.
I thought it was a white dude. Didn't Kevin Owens also powerbomb some white dude? It's like some... Hold on, I have to...
Oh, Machine Gun Kelly.
That's it, yeah, yeah.
That was the first one.
God, that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rex, welcome to the wonderful world of musical taste and wrestling.
Yeah, it's the Kevin Owens show.
Let's shift some news. We got a lot to talk about. A lot of controversial issues.
Our favorite type.
Been a fun week for those.
Serve them
up. First, the new Power Rangers movie is coming out, and they released posters, with each one of the Rangers and a piece of their Zords, which already look like shit. They look like the first like American Power Ranger movie.
Yeah.
I thought people liked that one.
It's okay, but that their Megazord, those Zords that were all like CGI, was just awful.
Yeah, I was about to say that people don't like that one for the Zords. They like it for Ivan Ooze and Tommy.
But side real quick. Also, Bill Hader is going to be in that movie.
I am not like
okay.
That I don't. Like that.
Wait, that's Alpha 5?
I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like there would have been better choices for Alpha 5.
It's Alpha 5, dude. Like, who gives a shit?
Kevin Hart would have been such a great Alpha 5, though. Like, think about it.
Yeah, well, we'll just have Kevin James as Bulk, too. Kevin James as Adam Sandler as Bulk.
Kevin James as Bulk and Sheldon Cooper as,
Oh, man.
Skull.
does Saturday Night Live have a resident funny fat guy?
Which one?
Does Saturday Night Live have a resident funny fat man?
Keenan Thompson has that covered.
Keenan Thompson?
But that's not my
that's
bulk.
Progressive casting.
Hashtag not my bulk.
Don't ruin egg my childhood.
So, no, the really... Oh, so they had one specific poster that got a shit ton of hate online. And I can see it, too. I facepalmed when I read it. The Yellow Ranger, her tagline is, "No driver's ed needed." Now, you might... Sean, you understand, Sean?
Yes, I get it.
It works on a couple different levels.
It works on two levels.
Yeah.
It works on, oh, look, the Yellow Ranger was the Asian one.
Is the Yellow Ranger Asian in this movie? I'm sorry.
I'm not sure, but the one that trumps it all, though, is the original Yellow Ranger.
Yeah.
He died in a car crash.
I thought the original Yellow Ranger was a girl.
Yeah. And that's okay. The other thing too, like the women can't drive and Asians can't drive, and then like and then the actual actress for the original died in a car crash.
I
mean, they're still making Fast and Furious movies, so it's not like
well, I mean, when you're specific about it, they're not going to be like, you know, having a flaming car in the Fast and Furious.
They have several flaming cars.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so Fast and the Furious is like a whole other thing, because like the way Paul Walker's death was handled was really gross and exploitative, but because of the fan base of Fast and the Furious, like nobody says anything, and it's become like kind of a running joke for people like me and other people that like just think it's kind of funny how gross the whole thing's handled. Power Rangers has there's a little bit of a fan base overlap, but the fan base is a lot different, and what's a kind way to say, a lot less backwards than the Fast and the Furious like fandom.
Well, so they're, and also,
so you're saying that they're basically picking up on this slight and kind of going.
Well, they might
know. They notice it a little more. Whereas the people that watch Fast and the Furious are not the
kind of cars.
Like, yeah, they're not the kind of people that would notice it. It's a very
even Ryan, you know, he loves Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
So
like it feels like a completely different set of people that either think that sort of thing's funny or aren't gonna notice it because like. Whoa, cars and Wiz Khalifa.
I don't think Wiz Khalifa was in a Fast and Furious.
He did that song that is still played, the R.I.P. Paul Walker song that is still played.
I thought that was Chris Brown.
No, it's Wiz Khalifa and Charlie Puth, I believe. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I really don't pay attention.
Yeah.
But, So yeah, that was kind of the controversial part, and I mean also the demographic for Power Rangers is completely different than Fast and Furious. No matter kids are make the most money for them.
But yeah, Power Rangers. I mean, yeah, it's when you look at it, it's like, oh, that's an unfortunate joke. I wonder if they actually intended that, or
it really seems like it wasn't intended. And yeah. I think they retracted that poster.
It's one of those things, like, it's really kind of like an obscure fact that you don't really know. Like, Jesus had to remind me before the show, like, what happened. And, like, it's one of those things that, like, people that aren't heavily invested in the Power Rangers franchise aren't really gonna know that off the top of their heads. And even if they are, like, it's still... It's one of those things that, like, outside of BuzzFeed, like, where are they now articles you're not gonna like really see or hear a whole lot about.
One of the reasons I know a lot also about the Yellow Ranger is because it's really spooky. She shares she was my crush growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And she shares the same name as my wife.
Yeah.
So that to me is kind of like too spooky for me.
Yeah. I mean, but it's like I didn't even pick up on like the whole like automobile death thing. I thought it was maybe like they had these taglines and they just kind of shuffled them up and it just happened to come up on Yellow Ranger and everyone kind of looked at it and goes, "Ooh, wait." And it's just like, crap. No. Put that on the Red Ranger. Take the red one and put it on the blue.
Well, that's what we said. It works on all in different levels.
Yeah.
So another thing, our city of Houston was in the news for a couple of things.
Oh, boy.
First one was... I think was it Monday? They had the shooter, right? Was it Monday?
No, it was.
Yeah, it was.
Was it Monday?
Was Monday. Yeah.
Like yesterday,
Yesterday, Monday.
Ah,
I remember starting to hear about it.
We had a shooting happen.
Yeah, there was an active shooting.
5 in the morning at a strip center. It was like 5 or 6, I believe.
Yeah, it was 6:30.
And since this is like Texas. There were several people that were able to just, like, take out their own firearms and, you know, subdue the guy before he even fired a shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly
what happened, and they shot the guy, and they, like, did a background check on him. He was ISIS, and also he purchased his guns illegally. That's actually not what happened at all, by the way.
Exactly.
I'm being very facetious.
No, a guy... a guy shot up a couple of people, 9 people. Nobody was fatally injured. There were injuries like shots to the arm and everything. And cops finally ended up killing him. We got the story later, and it's kind of weird. So his name is Nathan Desai. And right when they announced that, people started calling him Muslim and, oh my God, terrorist and all that. He wasn't, but he was driving around like a really nice Porsche. He was a disgruntled lawyer. He was a lawyer that his firm was like going down or going under or something.
Yeah.
But in this Porsche, he had 2,600 rounds of ammo.
Jeez.
Not only that, but he was wearing a military-style uniform with Nazi emblems all over. So to me, it's just...
Disgruntled, you know.
Yeah.
No, it's kind of insane to think of, you know, 2,600 rounds in a Porsche wearing Nazis. You know, a Nazi uniform.
Yeah.
The headline's, like, really out there.
It's super bizarre, but it's a thing that happened.
And they probably still tried to subdue him peacefully.
Probably.
He also had a Tommy gun in his car.
A Tommy gun?
Yep.
Maybe he was a time-traveling assassin?
Yeah. Because
he was like a Nazi with a Tommy gun.
Maybe the guy from Quantum Leap just got into the wrong body.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. But, yeah, it's really shitty that that happened. But luckily nobody died from it. Except for him.
Yeah, he died. Yeah.
We'll never know his story now, I guess.
I'm sure, like, we will at some point because there's investigations on his apartment and things. And I hope one day we get a story because I want to know.
It's like,
oh, we do know that his guns were purchased legally, so he passed, like, background checks and things of that nature, which is just really fucking...
But to me, the thing is, it's like... He's a disgruntled employee. Ammunition and guns, you know, you don't have to plan that far ahead. A Nazi uniform, I think you would have to do some digging for. You would have to have planned that out. Or,
yeah.
The alternative is, he just had it lying around.
Yeah.
So, to me, that's like, what?
Or he's MK Ultra.
Yeah, what he could be.
MK Ultra, and that's it, you know. Actually, you know, I was gonna say, doesn't the Houston Police Department have an okay record of being tolerable when it comes to not shooting right away?
Yeah, I mean,
okay than most. I mean, they've got like some awkward background on like other issues, but yeah, they don't. They're not as like trigger happy as say like the New York police.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because looking at this guy, he does not look, he looks like a person of color. He doesn't look white, and it took them 20 minutes to actually take him down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't just coming into the scene and just shooting him in the head and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, Houston itself is, like, so diverse. I don't think there's any, like, clear majority. If they are, there is a majority, it's probably Latino.
Yeah.
I saw that, in my feed right now, someone just showed a cop that just completely beat down a Houston cop just beat down someone at a metro station.
Yeah, that's what I meant by they have some background in like other things, because I know personally like at least 3 people off the top of my head that were beaten up by HPD officers for like no reason other than they thought they looked suspicious. So
you guys, it's the Wonder Wheel of police brutality. You just spin it and eventually your town or city will come up.
Yeah. Also, I do want to point out, like, that everybody I know that has had, like, issues with, like, police brutality in Houston were all, like, white people. So, that's a thing. I don't know. Houston's a weird place.
I know. We're... I hate to say it, but maybe we do need us white people do need to get roughed up a little bit more.
I completely agree with you, like, on that. Especially, like, I don't know, like... Going back to things that happened in the past, like that quote-unquote White Lives Matter protest that was actually a bunch of fucking, like, neo-Nazis, like, trying to intimidate the black community. I feel like if that had happened, like, in other places, there would have been a lot more, like... I don't know, they were just really too... The police were, like, a little too tolerant of that, and maybe white people just need to, like... get the They need to, like, get hit real hard sometimes, you know?
Yeah, we do need, like, a lot of people just need to realize what other people go through.
Yeah.
It's like that whole thing with, like, Mike Ditka, just kind of being like, if you don't like this country, get out, and it's like, says the rich millionaire white man.
It's always,
I don't see anything wrong. Like, oh, okay.
I just wanted to note that I am the only minority on the show, and I'm quiet. The two white people are talking. So.
Oh my god! Wait till later. We're gonna unload on white people.
I mean, we're having a conversation. No. We're not, you know, white-splaining.
Yeah.
All right. So another reason that we're in the news, Pie Pizza. They used to have a food truck where they sold gourmet pizzas.
Yeah, it's good.
And they ended up opening up an establishment.
Yay.
One person got asked to leave because of a concealed weapon.
Oh, they didn't even get asked to leave. Like, according to the post, like, they supposedly saw the sign on the door and then, like, left the one-star review complaining about how they felt unwelcome there because of the sign.
And then an avalanche of reviews happened
Was it for concealed handguns or is it open carry?
Both.
Open carry or is it both?
Yeah.
Because, like, okay, concealed handgun, I don't think... Actually, any places like stop concealed handguns.
Yeah, it's any.
It's open carry. I thought.
No.
Oh, it was any weapon.
No, because some bars you're not allowed to bring a gun concealed or open carry to a bar, or anywhere that serves alcohol. And as a Pie Pizza does serve alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
But right after that, an avalanche of negative reviews came in because of that. Because you're not allowed to bring in a gun into there.
Almost 1,000 bad reviews in the span of 12 hours.
It wasn't about the pizza. It was more about the guns. Rex, you spent so much time investigating all this.
My entire Saturday was devoted to this. I switched between...
it's like, wait, hold on. So now we're going to take it to our investigative reporter, Rex Nebors. Let's talk about... To give his dish on his piece. Go for it.
Man, I don't even know where to begin.
Dish on his piece.
God, I uncovered so many things over the course of... basically, this is all I did from the time I woke up at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon to about, like, 3 or 4 in the morning.
God
later on, when I was finally like, I've got to give it a rest. I have gone down too many rabbit holes, and I have a greater understanding for the perceived plight of the disenfranchised white man, but it just makes me hate them even more. Fucking shit. So
let me tell you this: those internet rabbit holes, when you get into them, it actually feels like you're in some kind of ARG.
Yeah, and it really did, like, more so than anything, because with the investigation that I did on this subject, I wound up poking my nose into some places that I don't necessarily belong.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the story got picked up really quickly. The only reason the bad reviews even started in the first place was because it was very obvious to me that this was planned out ahead of time, the whole thing. And it started on a website called Texas 3006 in reference to the concealed carry and open carry laws. .com, where they carry a user-made database of every business in Texas, basically, that the users have been to that do not allow concealed or open-carried guns, and they all discuss it. Mm-hmm. And somebody, the guy I'm assuming that made the review in the first place on Pie Pizza's Facebook page, made a post talking about how they were going to go there, but they saw that, like, da-da-da-da-da, guns weren't allowed, so they were going to give the owner a piece of their mind. And then somebody else hopped in and was like, yeah, and it kind of turned into, like, it was only, like, three people at first, and it turned into a mob thing. Then the screen cap of the guy's review and Lee, who runs Pie Pizza and, like, the restaurant group that, like, or he owns Pie Pizza with Anthony Calio and the restaurant group that owns a couple other restaurants, he's the one actually that responded first, and he's like, hey, Kyle, F-O, which is what supposedly this is the what the gun people were using to justify their attack was him saying FO. That original, the screen cap of that went viral very quickly within about an hour or two of it being posted on Open Carry Facebook pages, a lot of which are run by like the same people and a lot of which obviously share user base with Texas 30-06. So basically what we had here at the beginning, the first couple of hours of it, were like a very muchly like looser organized 4chan raid by a bunch of 50 to 60 year old people and people kind of around our age that felt threatened, like partially felt threatened that they weren't allowed to bring their guns in the pizza place, and partially just had an axe to grind because they had nothing else to do. And they, by around, God, I guess 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they had about 500 or so one-star reviews. I was really pleased with the community, though, because around this time, too, there was like 800 to 900 five-star reviews. So, like, it was nice seeing, like, the community band together against these fuckers, like, at once. But anyways, as it started going viral, trolls, like, just regular fucking generic trolls, started showing up and harassing people. And there's one guy in particular, his account was only open for a day. His name was Connor O'Dwyer. I traced him back to a Facebook page called Gun Control Zones Equals Crime Spree Zone, or Gun Safety Zones Equals Crime Spree Zones, that is very, I hate to use the phrase because it's becoming really overused and everything, but a very alt-right, very, just let me, the sample posts on this page were absolutely insane, and the guy at one point was trying to dox Anthony Caiello. I don't know how to pronounce his fucking last name. Anyways, trying to dox the guy. And I traced him back to, I found out he doesn't even live in America. He lives in, like, the Czech Republic. Wow. And he's probably 13 or 14. And he likes to post in, I found some forum postings of his about, like, katanas and stuff. Just basically, like,
edgelord.
Yeah, big-time edgelord. So, the reviews start... When the reviews started slowing down, I found out about the Texas 30-06 forums and started browsing them. And spent a long time reading the reviews of these restaurants and stuff. And I came to the conclusion, and granted, like, it's not a very, I'm not even going to pretend that this is a profound conclusion, because if you look at anything regarding, like, the Trump campaign or the rise of the alt-right or anything, like, if you look at any of that, like, you'll come to the same conclusion. Since the internet's been a thing, there hasn't really been a whole, like, there's really no mass culture anymore, so it's very easy for subcultures to think that they are the mass culture. It's very easy for, like, individual subcultures to think that they're the mass culture because they don't get out of their bubble, and what we've seen with, like, these Second Amendment types are, they are very deathly afraid, and you cannot convince them otherwise because they believe it so much that Obama is going to take away their guns and there's a race war coming and you've got to have your gun on you at all times or else some, like, brown person with a gun is going to come and fucking take your wallet while you're eating at Taco Cabana, which, I mean, like, it's funny to laugh about, but the Taco Cabana by my work, that's basically what the whole, like, thread was about. It's like, oh, this is right off a major freeway. Why would anyone, like, go eat at a restaurant off the major freeway without a gun, when in reality, like, Seguin's one of the most, like, some parts of it are pretty shady, I'll give it that, but not the part of town where the Taco Cabana is in. There's cops there all the time. It's not unusual to see, like, 5 or 6 cop cars pulling people over, like, in the parking lot of my work on a regular basis. So, yeah, the people that were doing this truly, truly believe that their rights were being infringed on, and unfortunately, there's, like, nothing you can do to persuade them otherwise, because their concept of reality is so far away from other people's concepts of reality. Like, that's basically what it comes down to. I wish I could be a little bit more eloquent about all of this, but I'm, like, having... there's just so much that... There's a lot that goes into it, and that's, I guess, the simplest way I can begin to describe it. It's really fucking scary, but, it's really scary to me that these people had a big enough voice to, by the time I finally, had to stop myself from refreshing the Pies Pizza review page every, 2 minutes, they got up to around, 800-something negative reviews, and I got to the point where the original message that they were trying to get across, we felt disrespected when he told us to FO, which, I mean, obviously wasn't the case anyways. They just feel, bad. They feel bad without their guns. That's the point of the whole thing. They feel like guns make them tough. The other thing is,
there's one thing to stay on track with your argument,
mm-hmm.
and be like, hey, I did not like what happened. Then there's the other thing. You're a person advocating that you need your gun at all times, and you go and you... Because one thing that did happen was they went and found out where he lived, his phone number, everything.
Yeah, they doxed him. Gun-free zones equals crimes-free zones doxed him. And then I have screen caps. Lee, the other owner of the restaurant, the guy that owns the restaurant group that owns Pie, he got doxed in a thread as well that I took screen caps of. It was on somebody's, personal Facebook page, and, it was all these people, we're gonna get him shut down for, not agreeing to our point of view. And it's fucking stupid because these are the whole point of them trying to do this is they're afraid of, their constitutional rights being infringed on. But isn't that not, are they not fucking with somebody else's First Amendment rights? Where do you draw the line there, you know?
Well, they think it's a corporation, but it's not a corporate. It's a small business, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And not only that, but like I mentioned before, if someone I don't know has a gun on them at a place that serves alcohol and I see them getting belligerently drunk, that's going to, that's not a good look at all.
Yeah.
And so like I said before, it's like they doxed him. They're for gun rights. One of these guys may actually be super nuts.
Yeah, a lot of them.
And Michael, hurt them.
In all honesty, a lot of them, after reading their reviews and, looking through their, website and stuff, a lot of them are completely nuts. And I wish I could get real names of especially a lot of the people that post in the Texas 30-06, forums. So I don't know. It just makes me really uncomfortable. I want to stay the fuck away from these people. Also, I want to point out a lot of the people involved in these movements really love to name check 1984 and be we're living in 1984 and it's the liberals' fault, and the LGBT community's fault, and Hillary Clinton's fault. But the most big brothery behavior that I've seen from any group of people is definitely the really hardcore right-wing contingent, and the fact that they just do not grasp the irony, right down to we were talking before the show began, and I'll probably get into it again with the Trump stuff, doublethink and thought crimes and all that. They are perpetrating that way more than any other group right now, and it's just really upsetting to me that they don't get there's a lot of cultural reasons as to why it's pretty much impossible for the people that subscribe to political ideology like that to understand. But it really blows my mind that people can exist that don't get the hypocrisy of that.
And they don't understand where their arguments are coming from. They just know to use those arguments.
Yeah, basically. It's they're very indoctrinated, and then the whole movement comes down to...
people that just interrupt discussions by being straw man ad hominem, as if that's the end of the discussion. It's no, that's not. You're pointing out rhetorical devices doesn't equate winning the conversation.
And just as a reminder, just as a reminder, when we talked about the whole gun situation, all of us unanimously said it doesn't. We don't want to take guns away from people. Just control them more.
Yeah, I don't.
And make sure.
Like, I don't think anybody in general wants to, like, I mean, I know there's people out there that are like, "Bruh, ban all guns," but the vast majority of people don't think that's a good idea. You know,
yeah, like, it's your own right to own a gun and to use it responsibly, and that's it.
It's like it's that myth of, you know, where it's most actual gun owners support like all these extra like restrictions and background checks. The only people lobbying against that are the actual manufacturers via the NRA.
Yeah.
And the NRA controls the narrative for the people that don't know where the arguments come from. Ergo, they're using the NRA arguments when it's like, really, it's like, no. So that's that kind of catch 22.
Yeah. Well, we dwelled on that for a while. Thank you for taking most of your day Saturday to dwell into all that. Hopefully all that clears up. And
Rex, you're like the Hunter S. Thompson of the internet.
Thank you. Yeah.
And good luck to Pie Pizza and, you know, not having
any more damage. Well, they had like a cool little video that they put on their Facebook page that was like, thanks for the support, guys.
Their business
I really want pizza.
Up like 40% on Sunday, which I think is really cool. And I just want to like reiterate what I said earlier again. Like, I am really proud of the, like, everybody in the community that came together to help out the business. Like, I mean, it was a given anyway. Pie Pizza's been around for a pretty long time, and I'm just really happy that the community, like, stood up for its own.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
you can take our guns, just don't take our pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Moving along, we're going to take our first break. This is a song from, there's a competition called the VPC right now, the Vocal Producer Challenge, and it features some of Nerdcore's finest rappers and producers teaming up and doing their stuff. Richie Branson, who we're going to have at a show on Friday, is part of Team Kontaku, along with Kadesh Flow. He put out a track called 11 a.m. Before Deadline, and he decided to rap. It's kind of a deeper song. Richie has been going through some health problems. He's going to have major surgery near his throat area, and it's kind of him trying to talk about facing adversity. Uses an amazing sample from Rocky. And this is going to be 11 a.m. Before Deadline. Remember, you can check Richie Branson on Friday the 30th with us at Red Light at Springbok. I actually passed by the place. It looks really nice. We'll talk more about the show in a little bit. But yeah, this is 11 a.m. Before Deadline, and we'll be right back.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take.
This rap shit is his love. He calls it Adrian. Eyes swollen shut, can't wait to see your face again. They gotta cut him just to get another day to live. But when that surgery is up, he'll get a major win. Still, this could be the last song he ever makes. Seems like yesterday he thought he'd be at Heaven's Gate. He took a step away from rap so he could medicate. They celebrate his absence, now he's back to devastate. Stepped out of the hyperbolic like Kakarot. That capsule shot'll smash they block up like an aftershock. Richie Branson, these other rappers is afterthoughts. I snack a lot, eating tracks, somebody pass the sauce. Blasting off, getting so damn high. Like an overhyped astronaut in No Man's Sky. Used to hit the class a lot, rocking Poe Man's ice. Had the rocks flashing off like them Kodak lights. Yeah, this is where the hook was supposed to go, but when you hitting bars, 16 will get you no luck. Even at my worst, the flow colder than the snow bluff. Traveling since birth, the roads raise me like I'm gold dust. Damn, microphone getting dusty. Better bring an army if you thinking you can crush me. I'm going off the deep end with no bungee. I wrote this song down on the weekend, don't judge me. Dash. Gatekeepers take note, I want my peace. Close the doors in my face, I break them down, I'm not Maurice. I'm the wolves who chase after him. Better yet, I'm the beast who smashes them when bells in a disaster grim. Speaking of bells, I don't crack them, I just ring them. There's liberty attached to what I'm bringing. Cause really, I am mastering the feat of shooting blaster bars. Reality for dreamers, they can happen. I believe it, you receive it. So I've got my weight up. Look at palm skin and see callous. Best expect the plates that I lift to keep piling. Till I'm round the world spitting 16. So pristine, you can paint them on the Sistine Chapel. Since beginning, like the ones who send clean apples. I've been surgical when all these pricks need scaffolds. By that I mean I'm swinging like I'm gifting Falcon. Punches plus a home of 415. Out here. The hood should go here, but I'd rather rap and rip for fans. I rarely sleep, but my dreams can turn Edward's Scissorhands to Kruger's spewing, leaking out the blood of any sycophant. Trying to dupe the view of future sleeping on the vision, man. So I try to avoid these homies with no processes. Problematic like hemoglobin with low oxygen. I have been sick of seeing this annoying violence and acknowledge that I should give my voice more to this problem.
You said it and didn't mean it. I said it cause I believe it and breathe it. I mean until I stop being a being made of pure light. Until I change the sins through the night. Never think I'm not done and dirty cause I'm ready to fight. See my plight is my might and I'm strong cause I'm right. I will strive to be right. Just this hook is my right fist of justice. So weigh me now so we can discuss this. We kneel, get disgusted. I sit, it's disgusting. Revolting, revolting. Don't look the other way while I'm talking. Live long and prosper like I'm a Vulcan. You follow anything that means that you stand for nothing. Don't even know a path that you're walking. I'm fighting for freedom. Free human junk, yeah, I don't need it. I'm coming from the walls of Maria. Your boy is a titan. I'm crushing anyone who don't like me. And eating any MC surviving. And here's where the hook went. Nah, I don't like it. I'd rather have a moment of silence. Pick up the flow and go to my mind spin. Run out of other words I can rhyme with. I'd rather spin a bar to my rhyme sick. Like I'm a plague that's raging bubonic. I spread through your township. Have everybody worry my mind slip. Like dude, he used to be such a nice kid. I wonder what we did to have him smashing out like he's 3/5. Don't care about hooks while I'm writing this rhyme. He's going for his while I'm going for mine. Deliver these bars on the drop of a dime. Polish my verse and now look how it shines. They wanted the double, so I gave him time. Jacket like Dipsy, a roll with this rhyme. They call me evil, the champ is defined. We're gonna keep winning no matter your mind.
Once again, that was 11 a.m. Before Deadline. Really good song by Team Kurentaku. And we're going to step into this territory. Monday night also saw the first presidential debates of this election.
That's right. Boy. That's right. So Chris Jericho was in the ring. And he was talking to Kevin Owens. And then Enzo Amore came out. And then they, yeah.
Okay. Here, to be honest, I was watching the debates. And I was like, wow, WWE finally has, like, competition because it was a full-on wrestling promo. And now that I've taken the – okay, I watched it. I laughed at everything that was going on. But now taking a step back, both of them did pretty awful. Like, I – at first I was like, okay, Hillary's doing well. But she did a little too much mudslinging in the end. In my opinion,
I don't know. I feel like she showed great restraint because she could have done a lot more mudslinging. You could tell, like, her face, like, she kept making, it's pretty much like the same face that Aziz Ansari used to make in Parks and Recreation when he'd, like, do something goofy and, like, grin at the camera. Yeah. She kept doing that a lot, and I could tell that, like, she wanted to sling some more mud. And we might see that in a later debate, but she, I think, showed incredible restraint considering who she was debating.
She was doing a lot of things. She had a great temperament. You know,
her temperament was good.
Yeah, and her stamina, I would say.
Yeah, no, I mean, no matter what, I am scared of this election. Even though, you know, everyone's like, well, let's get Hillary in. It's still kind of scary. I mean, she did have a lot of good policies and points towards the equality of women and race.
Yeah.
And then the next morning, the memes were amazing.
Yeah. There's been some good ones.
Have you seen the one where it's her doing her shoulder wiggle and then they show like Shaq doing the same shoulder wiggle.
I saw the ultimate version of that one where it was like Hillary Clinton, the kitten, and Shaq. And it just kept going.
I was, and then afterwards, it was really funny. I was watching, I was reading some news, and both Reddit and 4chan were making sure Donald Trump would win every public poll.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because I watched the, I didn't actually get to watch the debate till like 2 or 3 in the morning this morning. And when I went to like read about it, I saw that like Trump was like dominating all the polls. Yeah. And I was like, how could that happen? And
I knew something was up because like the MSNBC poll was like 60 to 30. It's like, no. Not MSNBC.
Yeah, I know, like, every single poll that I looked at, and it was a stark contrast to fucking even, it was very gratifying seeing even Fox News and fucking Stormfront have articles on their front pages that were like, Hillary wins the debates. Like, that was, that sure was a thing that felt good to see.
It was just kind of like, And I did step into poll, and it was, poll is normally a shit show, but after the presidential debates, the political board on 4chan was even a bigger mess.
Oh, I can imagine.
The funny thing is, it wasn't people jerking off Trump, it was people jerking off Hillary.
Yeah.
It was just, the chaos in there was great to see.
Yeah, it sounds a lot different than the first place I went after I watched the debate was R the Donald on Reddit, because I wanted to see like how they reacted to it, and the amount of like spin and mental gymnastics that people were doing were just really, it cracked me up more than anything. Like, they took like one or two things that Trump said that they could make decent points out of, and they were like overly memeing all of it, and it was like, wow, they're really trying so hard.
At least Clinton didn't pass out,
right?
Yeah,
so. That stamina.
I saw that that Howard Dean tweet about like Donald Trump just needs to go backstage and finish his line of coke.
Yeah,
and everyone's like, dude, Governor, bad form. It's like, shut up. He's Howard Dean. He can do what he wants now. I was like talking to somebody at work today about this, and it was just like, it was like such a quaint idea. It's like, remember back in 2004 when Howard Dean was like everything, and what destroyed his entire career was one awkward scream, and now here we are in 2016, and people are just like looking at Donald Trump going, there's nothing that the guy can, he looks weird, he says dumb things, and it's like, that's only making him stronger.
Yeah.
But we threw out one of the better, like, candidates in a long time for an awkward scream. I'm still really, really sore about Howard Dean.
Politics has come, like, a long way, not necessarily in a good way, but it's definitely a lot different than it was, like,
but it's still a shit show, like, no matter what.
Yeah.
He was going to take us out of this shit show, man. He was like a young Bernie Sanders.
I do like, I was telling you guys about the tweet earlier, the Newt Gingrich one.
Yeah.
Where he compared Hillary to Fox and Trump to a hedgehog?
Yeah.
And then DeviantArt responded, we're like, hey, tell us more about your Sonic and Tails fan fiction.
That made me really happy.
The one that made me laugh a lot is when Trump was saying, I sound like him now, China Muslims.
Huge.
But
they gotta build a wall, it's gonna be enormous.
But he was saying that, or Hillary said that Trump had said that climate change was just a hoax made by the Chinese, and then he's like, Nope. And people went back on his Twitter, and it's right there.
Yeah. They deleted that tweet pretty fast, but yeah, it was there.
Yeah, no, I was watching the live fact checkers, and it was pretty insane. I mean, Hillary wasn't like all true. She had a mostly true rating.
Yeah. My favorite thing about those fact checkers, it's like I was reading it on PBS, and it's trying to keep up with it, right? And they're doing a lot of text-to-speech. And so it would get to, like, Hillary's section, and it'd be, like, text-to-speech. Like, all right, this part's a little janky. That must be the text-to-speech stuff, right? And then it gets to Donald Trump's part, and I would just, like, look at it and be like, I don't know. Maybe he did actually say it this way. It's really janky.
Before I watched the debate, I did read about half of it, like, in the NPR fact-checker transcript. And Donald, like, a lot of the things that were coming out of Donald Trump's mouth, like the sentences that he was trying to make, weren't actually sentences. It was just him stringing words together in a way that made him kind of sound like he was maybe saying something that made sense. But there was a lot of him, like, avoiding questions and just, like, saying nonsensical things to...
Like, my 10-year-old will do a cyber.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, what? What is... And I would read that and be like, well, maybe he meant to say, like, another word. And it's like, no, no. And then the voice-to-text robot's like, no, I'm doing my fucking job. I'm trying to keep up with this man.
Yeah, the voice-to-text robots and Lester Holt, I think, were the real MVPs of the night. Like, I actually feel really bad for Lester Holt because there's a lot of... He's gotten a lot of really negative criticism over his moderation last night, but, like, what do people expect? He's a moderator. He's not supposed to be, like, a third personality in the debate. The best moderator is, like, a referee. If you can't tell that they're there, they're doing their job.
Yeah.
So I don't know what people were, like, expecting out of him other than, like, I mean, there is a lot of the Trump contingent that was, like, oh, they were being unfair to Trump and not letting him, like, do things, but he kind of needed to be kept on topic because he kept rambling, and half the things that were coming out of his mouth, like I said, didn't make any sense. Like, from a technical grammar perspective, there was just a lot of, like, nonsense coming out of his mouth last night.
I don't know. I akin it so much to wrestling promos. That's what this year's debate was. Mm-hmm. Because all those quips that they were throwing at each other was just that explosive back and forth. Is especially the, you want my tax return? I'll show it to you when you show me the emails. And it's like, bah! You know, everyone's like, whoa.
I mean, you've watched Ultimate Warrior promos, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You understand.
Yeah, that's who Trump was.
He was the Ultimate Warrior. And
Hillary was Randy Savage.
You think Hillary was a Randy Savage there?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think that or Jake the Snake.
Yeah, yeah, Jake the Snake, I think. A little more cold and calculated.
Yeah, I was about to say, she was a lot more, like, restrained than Randy Savage. Okay, so
that's going to be our comparison. Ultimate Warrior was Trump, and Jake the Snake was Hillary.
Yeah. I mean, just because, like, not too many women do, like, you know, promos.
Yeah. But
they're getting there. They're getting there.
One day, women, you will be equal to everyone else.
I wish Hillary Clinton was, like, Sable instead.
Oh, her.
God damn it.
No.
Let Brock Lesnar take her away to his compound.
Yeah.
Oh, God, we're getting into wrestling now. Switch gears real quick. Oh, speaking of wrestling, they premiered the Cruiserweight division.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was watching it. It's really neat, especially the champion guy that they have. I wish Ryan was on here. He's a Filipino, and he comes out to, like, chiptune music and dabs. It's just insane now.
Yeah.
Just to
watch all
that
happen. He's got a really good, cool, like, entrance theme.
Mega Ren actually just... wrapped over it too. So.
Yeah.
Anyways, tonight actually I went to the Majestic Metro Theater here in Houston. I've never been in there. It's really, really nice. It's like a little old time movie theater with, like, the boxes and the golden gold leaf all over and everything. And I went there because I was I had tickets to a Balvenie private tasting that also. Supposedly Anthony Bourdain was going to be there, but he did not show up. It was for Balvenie. Actually has a show that they do with Andy Bourdain that you can find on YouTube because they haven't gotten a network to grab it, but it's really neat. It's all talking about like people that really work into their work specifically on a certain craft and just knock it out of the park. There's a couple of them. One was like making pans. That doesn't sound interesting, but when people make pans, that I mean, it wouldn't, like, if I told you, hey, do you want to watch this? It's about making pans.
I'd be like,
you
know, no, why would you. I?
Exactly, but I mean, these are pans that will last like centuries and everything. But it's because of the craft that goes into it. There's one about like saxophones, guitars, etc. And they actually premiered their second season tonight at the Majestic Theater, and it was like the stories of these people is really cool. It was a hockey player from Sweden who's also a model, who wrote a cookbook, who finally settled on functional art in terms of furniture. And they actually brought the guy there and everything, but we got to taste a bunch of, like, we got the Balvenie 21, which I think is like a $400 bottle right now. I'm not sure. But always check Eventbrite for your area for really neat, like, free tastings like that. Because when I said I got tickets, they were free.
Yeah.
But it would have been nice to have seen Bourdain out there too, though. I mean, but you slap that guy's name on anything right now and people will come.
Yeah. Did they say, like, why he didn't show up, or?
I don't know, but.
Or is he just somewhere, like, in France going, like.
Yes, he was in Spain.
Like, we was supposed to go where? Like.
No, his Instagram had, like, 6 hours ago, and it was a picture of him in, like, this beautiful, like, town in Spain. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay.
Hey, that's what he's built his life towards.
Yeah. Well, we got the Swedish art, the guy that was featured in the episode, to sit down and talk there. That was really cool. Andrea was there. She was on here to talk about a little bit about that too. Untapped is also going to happen this weekend, which is the beer festival that we have in Houston, or it's a company from Dallas, but they have beer festivals in Dallas, Austin, Houston, and San Antonio, I believe. I've been here the last couple of years. It's an absolute blast, especially with the music and everything. The only regret I have is one time I went to go watch. I wanted to watch Toadies, but I got a little too drunk and don't remember watching Toadies.
Aww. No.
So.
I don't think some of the Toadies remember.
To finish off the show, I want to remind everybody that we are going to have our big old concert at Red Light at Springbok. I passed by the place. It's in the hip place on Main Street. There's literally a metro rail stop right in front of the bar. So if you want to, if you're coming from like the Westheimer Montrose area, you can take the, is there a rail down there? I don't know, but yeah, the rail line stops right in front of the bar. So maybe don't even worry about, you know, bringing out your car. That it's also safer to do that if you plan on drinking. There's like a huge parking garage around the corner also. But we'll be having Richie Branson, of course. I miss him a bunch. And this is going to be one of the last shows that he does before he has his surgery. So he won't be around for even longer after that. DJ Roborob is going to show up. We played a lot of his stuff. Rex, you've heard his new song, right?
Yeah, it's real good.
He's been turning like super weeb, and I love it.
Yeah,
like weeb jazz.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying like the direction he's been going in lately.
Yeah, so I mean, he'll knock out the tunes as always. MC Omi's coming around, and then of course our hometown boys, the Josh Crow and Johnny Hackenslash, are going to be opening up. We haven't seen them in a long time either.
Yeah.
So. It's going to be $10 to get in. Let's pack that place up as much as we can to show Main Street that the nerds come in and support as well. Yeah. So, it's going to do it for us, I guess.
Yeah.
Do we have anything else to talk about? Yeah, we can go ahead and finish it off. This has been SCN 149.99, the final frontier right before we get into 150.
Start 8.
But on behalf of myself, Rex, and Sean, good night, Space City.